February 26, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Last Friday of February. Two down for 21. Start off the show with John Coltrane and Kenny Dorham. Trumpet Man, 1958. Shifting Down. And then it had a kind of grammatical mark on it, so it couldn't be he. Maybe it's hey, but it's from my guest, Steve Fulton. Yes, people, I'm not man alone. Because those engineers with their Scott invention from Estonia, Mr. Steve Fulton along. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
And you're in SoCal, which part?
Claremont.
Oh, okay. Franklin Bruno territory.
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, I mean, we had a big joke about this. Next door is Montclair, Claremont.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accident? I mean, how the fuck that
I don't know how that happened, but yeah, Claremont has the colleges, Montclair has the mall.
Right, and in fact, one of those malls got a parking lot over right, because I know about these parts because there was a pad called the Green Door.
Oh yeah, that was before my time here, but definitely heard my friends talk about that place.
It's been paved over. I think Mr. Poe said, quote, the Raven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nevermore. But it was an interesting place. I have a lot of stories. But I want to talk about your story. You gave me a buttload of songs here. But I want to, no, we're going to play pretty near all. But I want to get into your journey through music. Can we, Steve, bring us your earliest musical recollection, please.
Probably the farthest back I can remember is being about 5 years old and various things I heard at that time, like, West Side Story. I don't know. I remember hearing ABC on the radio by the Jackson 5. I don't know. Just sort of scattered memories from that time. I have some memory of like maybe around that age of going to like a performance of Carmina Burana and actually physically feeling the sound.
Yeah.
That, just like scattered memories like that, you know, about that age.
Yeah, I mean, some guys, they tell me about hearing shit inside their ma and stuff, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Mine start about 5, maybe, and they're blurry like yours, you know. Maybe it is that physical, the pushing of the sound. And where was this?
Central Vermont. That's where I grew up.
Okay. Green Mountain.
Yeah.
So Claremont, not too far. Yeah, the acorn don't drop far from the tree, does it? Actually, that's bullshit. That's bullshit because the acorn tree wants a squirrel to eat that and shit it somewhere very far away because nature don't like inbreeding. See, that's motherfucking ethnic cleansers trying to justify their faulty thinking. Just my opinion. The pad you grew up with, Steve, was there musical instruments inside?
Yeah, we always had like a beat up upright piano around. And, you know, later on, like I discovered like an acoustic a nylon string guitar that my mom had that still had 4 strings left on it. And
four? So yeah, so it's almost a bass. What we're missing? The E and the B?
What?
Well, if it was missing the high E and the B, it's almost a bass, right?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think it was as simple as that. Okay. I think it was missing something in the middle.
Ah, like a guitarón. Okay. Look, I asked that because, you know, that you ended up jumping on shit and playing, so that's why I ask about that. And so, yeah. So your ma or your parent, anybody in the there were some players in the house.
Kind of. I mean, my dad had played viola, but I don't remember ever seeing him play it, even rehearsing it. But I didn't really see them do that. So it's like, yeah, there were instruments, yeah, there was musicality, but I didn't really see it in action so much.
And then with the piano there, it wasn't like the go-to, like, now it's time for lessons and some trauma.
I did have lessons when I was about 6.
Now, how'd that go?
As I recall, it went well, but I only did it for about a year, and then, I don't know, for whatever reason, stopped, I guess.
Well, because I've had people on the show, and it almost chased them away from music. It seems it depends on the teacher. Do you remember the teacher?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's all right. What about it at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
In fifth grade, I played cornet for about a year. Didn't really get good at that.
Who was the big cat on cornet? Chuck Mangione?
Well, I didn't learn this till much later, but Louis Armstrong.
Of course. I'm just saying that because you're a little younger than me, but remember Chuck Mangione?
Yeah. I think he was flugelhorn, though.
Ah, okay. Wrong again, Watt. Okay. So the cornet, so you learned how to read music?
Not really, no. I mean, I don't know, I sort of learned, you know, how it works, but I can't sight read.
Okay, so you like ended up memorizing and like fooling those people?
Yeah.
Steve, tell me the first record you bought with your own money.
I don't remember single was. I remember that I did buy a lot of 45s before I finally scraped up the money to buy an album. The first album.
Well, no, 45's okay. The first one I bought was American Woman by Guess Who.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could remember what my first one was. The first album I bought was the first Boston album. And then that same night I won Frampton Comes Alive in a radio contest.
So you could have saved some money. I don't know. Maybe you didn't like that. I remember the television album came out when that Boston record did. I graduated high school. Yeah, it was 1976. Mm-hmm. So you were a boy then?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm
young teen.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
76. I guess I was only 11.
So I'm 15. I'm 15 years. No, I'm 7 years older than you then. Okay. What about the first gig you went and saw?
Some local teenage band played in the junior high gym. I think that was the first one. The same band also played opening for the movie Star Wars. I don't remember which of those came first. Those might have been the only two times I saw a rock band before I played my first gig. There wasn't a lot of music going on in Central Vermont at the time.
Okay. You were in the marching band, though, right? So the football games and shit like that?
I don't remember actually marching.
Okay. You were like...
I think we just played on a stage or something.
Okay, yeah, like an orchestra. Okay. Well, over here at San Peter High, they had to wear these big-ass wool suits. March. In the hot sun and shit and... The black and gold was our theme song because that's our colors. And, of course, we were the Pirates, right? St. Peter. We're the harbor here. What about the thing? Well, you end up on, besides the horn, like the horn ain't really a instrument to jam with your buddies after school in the basement or the garage, right?
Right. I sort of picked up the guitar, you know, that guitar that my mom had.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, you know, finding a cheap electric of my own. But my first band, I played keyboards.
Well, how'd you get on keyboard? Because of that stand-up?
The upright piano? Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, by that time, you know, it'd been a long time since I had lessons, and I was pretty much self-taught. But, I managed to buy, like, a cheap electric piano from my D&D Dungeon Master, and... that was enough to
get me in. Where did you buy this?
My D&D Dungeon Masters was selling
it. What the fuck is it? Are you talking about the game?
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, yeah, but he also, like, sold instruments.
Well, he just had one, and he wanted
to... I understand.
It was cheap, so I got it.
Okay. I didn't think we all had, maybe in Vermont, everybody's got a personal Dungeon Master. Anyway, okay, so, because those were really expensive, those, the first ones in the 70s and shit, that's why me and D. Bloom didn't know anybody played one.
Electronic piano. Yeah, this is actually an electronic piano, not an electric piano. And by the time I got it, it was $50. So.
Wow, I remember Univox had one, and it was $400, and that was the cheapest one.
This was probably pretty much the same thing. I think, you know, different brands had essentially the same thing, and it wasn't a very good sound.
No, and it could do harpsichord and clavinet.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And but then the Casio, they got down under 100 and shit, and it just changed everything. But rock and roll is basically a keyboard music. It's not a guitar music. That came later. So it makes sense. It's funny why it's treated not, you know, with Elton John kind of thing, because it's really a little Richard Jerry Lee Lewis. And even Chuck Berry, his piano man, wrote the tunes. So the first band you were in, can you remember the first gig?
Yeah, it was a high school, it was the homecoming dance.
And was it a success? Did this band have a name? Did you do original material, or did you copy songs?
It was copy songs. We did like four sets worth of, you know, the rock hits of the day. We squeezed one original song in that first gig, but it didn't really work out for us.
Four sets were like the long, or not 20-minute like Miles Davis.
No, like, you know, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, something like that. And yeah, I was petrified, but I couldn't stay petrified for 4 hours.
Yeah. That's, and so it was basically, I mean, they didn't throw shit, right?
No.
Yeah, so it was kind of a success.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got paid, so.
And you even got paid for your first fucking gig. That's great. I mean, the Minutemen didn't get paid till their 35th gig.
Wow.
Well, you know.
I still don't get paid most of the time.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to start fucking crying your river, right? After school, did you pursue music, or was it still on the side?
It was kind of on the side. You know, I went off to college, but I was always playing in bands. It was always something I, you know, really wanted to do and kept doing, so.
What I mean is you didn't go to college for music?
No, I went to college despite music.
Okay. But you probably met some music people there, right?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. And so you leave the keyboard, right?
Even during high school, like, I had another band in high school, and I was playing guitar and some bass in that band. I started on keyboards, but things just shifted around, and yeah, I ended up playing guitar primarily.
And it was a self-taught thing too?
Yeah.
Like, or learn off records or something, but no teacher, no sensei.
What?
Like no instructions from a person.
I'm sorry, you're dropping out.
No instructions from a person.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, guitar, totally. I've never had a guitar lesson.
So ever. You're trying to, like, figure songs off of records, like me and D. Buna. Although, some guy showed us some stuff at first.
Yeah, pretty much that. And I was always, like, just making up stuff, you know?
No, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Oh.
When I get the mind reading thing done, I won't have to use words anymore, Steve, but in the meantime, I'm going to have to kind of interrogate you about this. Yeah. So, when did you start writing? So you said you got one song in on that first gig. Was that your song?
Me and the singer wrote it together.
Okay,
yeah.
So when did you start, like, making your own? Because I'm always interested in that, because where we grew up, nobody wrote their own fucking songs. I hated it.
Oh, you hated that they didn't?
Yeah, because when I found out about the punk movement, everybody wrote songs.
Right.
But no one did before we met those people that we knew. Yeah, the culture of the 70s here in Pedro was sucking out loud.
Well, not as out loud as Central Vermont.
If you were writing your own tunes, you're about a mile and a half ahead of us, Steve.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anyone heard them or anything, but it was... You know, just for my own amusement, I guess.
Well, you know, fucking Walt Whitman. Well, no, he was trying to stop the Civil War. That's right. Look, I want to play some music from you here. Retreat of the Border Tories.
All right.
Interesting title.
Not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at closer day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might dance in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on that sad height, curse me, bless me now with your fierce tears. I pray to not go gentle into that good night. Rage. Rage against the dying and the light.
I'm your man. Since 18, women can do, babe, what they do for themselves, I'll do for you. It's so good that, oh no, yeah, I'm your man.
Time, oh babe, you're all, and I'll deserve you, I will serve you at the time.
talk, I'm gonna get down on my knees. It's so good that you can get it from my hand. I'm your man, baby. I'm your
just to reach you. the flesh. Chill in the breath. Through the chest. Take straight through the vest. Two degrees of bulletproof. Flex. Flex. Trying to reflex all the flex. 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 Cut that up like that, right? Hard to see what I saw to navigate. You guys, man, don't hesitate. Inside of your head, medicine. Over. Tolerate. Racked in the forfeit. Chicken and birds got me warded. Warded. Can a little boy hit me warded. Get more head. Rather can't forfeit. Nothing, dog. Send him out orbit. Send him out orbit. Send him out orbit. I can't forfeit. You gon' love me. Legacy regret me. Neglect me. Don't distract me. Why? Why? Hold on, boy, use your my lifeline. Tell her I saw last living, living till the day I die, die, die. Coming, coming down, die. Still look through the dollars that I see in your eyes. You're making me like Danica. I make a world of damage, I can't handle ya. I damage her, I damage her. I damage her, I damage her. Holding up her hands like Marcus and I highlight it. I'm an artist, the boy. Still an artist, I'm some strong. Hold on, nation, disease, the flow. Don't system, I can rip the signal. Know who it is, so you know who it is. Don't be my boyfriend, deliver your fortune. I get up in the mixtures. Feel my face. Know who's the business. Know who's the dinner. Know who the killer. Just know the dinner. My fault, my children. Even the younger. You still my brilliance. You still my character. You still destroy the promised lands. We hold it now. Still the good. We close. We show the people who do good. No bomb, no good bomb. Had a close on, about the difference. So they switching out the drugs, not a rich on. Feed up, feed up, feed up, feed up. Remain patient, forgive yourself, and learn to understand and damage. And all I ask, love.
11 bodies, bodily systems. Four babies, three vertebrates. Don't know where it is.
I flew on a plane last month, and I had a ginger ale. The stewards went down the aisle and asked people what they wanted to drink. When she got to my row, I was sitting by the window, and the man who was sitting next to me was asleep. She looked at him first and saw that he was asleep, so then she looked over at me and asked what I'd like to drink. Ginger ale, I said. And when I said that, the guy next to me woke up, looked at the stewardess, and said, ginger ale. That made me wonder if he really wanted ginger ale, or if he was startled awake by me saying ginger ale. And it woke him up, and he saw her and knew what she wanted, so said the first thing that came into his head, which was ginger ale, because it was the words that he'd just heard and that had woken him up. A little while later, she brought us both our ginger ales, but I wonder if he really wanted ginger ale. We didn't talk at all.
Ginger, ginger ale. Ginger ale, I have a ginger ale.
Watch for Pedro show. We start off that chunk of music. Steve Fulton with Retreat of the Border Tories. Has nothing to do with the border of Canada people. No Tories. Right, the people after 1783?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know our own birthday, people. As U.S. people, we're... Anyway, the Loyalist part, a bunch of off-air banter, don't make any sense, but great song there, Retreat of the Border Tories. Do not go gentle into the good night. That's Ig reading a Dylan Thomas poem. Richard Hell and the Voidoids, he remixed his second album, I'm Your Man. He's beautiful. He found the master tapes. Barry Berko Band, his third part, Out of Phase, from the Symphony, brand new thing. Dinosaur Jr.'s got a new song, and I Ran Away. Steve Fulton again, The Colon of the Gloam.
Colleen.
Colon.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't
pronounce
a G. Colleen. You know about the town in on the off I-5 in San Joaquin Valley, right? Colinga.
Oh, right, yeah.
Coaling Station A. That's why I heard they got the name. It was to put coal on the trains.
Oh, okay.
And coaling is the same idea. Yeah. Okay, but I ain't meant to fuck with you, too. Sorry. Dr. Stockhausen to the ER from Bombas Prendon after that. Hands Rotten out of Switzerland. In honor for Yuri, Reese, and Glenn. Reese and Glenn is probably Mr. Chad and Mr. Branca, maybe Mr. Gagarin. I don't know. Steve Fulton with OG, Out of My Orbit from Model Home. Great new album they got. David Greenberger, he's not too far from Vermont, with The Hi-Ho Barbers, Ginger Ale. And finally, Steve Fulton with There But For the Week Gone By. You leave Vermont. What's next for you music-wise?
Went to college in Connecticut, was in a band there basically all through college, and then for a year after, and then that broke up, and then I moved out to San Francisco and was in various bands there, and moved down here and have been in various bands here.
We're at the end of first hour, February 26, 2021 edition, Off the Pedro Show, special guest Steve Fulton. Hang tight for hour two. February 26, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Bitter the winter. Slow, slow, slow the growth, and quick, quick is the harvest. Who can grab the most, and who can bear it the farthest? Joy takes its own sweet time, but sorrow is a sprinter. Sweet, sweet, sweet the spring, and bitter, bitter the winter.
For Peter Show, start off the second hour with Rabble Enabler, Steve Fulton, and Franklin Bruno. There's the man, Sweet the Spring. Even though we're 3-4 weeks away, well, in SoCal, we're always. Right, it was, a couple days ago, it was 80 degrees in Pedro, Tuesday. I'm not laughing at the rest of the country. I'm very sorry for all the heaviness, but you understand why when I came here from Virginia, I never left, right? Spoiled motherfucker. I can imagine Vermont. Oh my God. But yeah, sure, it's pretty. The only river I ever kayaked in my life, because I've only done an ocean really and once a lake, was in Vermont. Then we had Zero Master 12 from Steve Fulta. There's another trippy title. Unforeseen Ciphers of the World from Lisa Cameron, Damon Smith, Alex Cunningham. Dale Crover from his solo album, Stumbler is the song. Steve Fulta with Crypto Cabana. No Mercy. You know about these cats? They were from the old days, 70s punk, from the city. You know, they had a bigger scene than us, way bigger. And it was just a drummer. There were two ladies, a drummer and a singer. Punk wasn't always fast guitar. It was like fucking anything, right? And
Especially early on.
It should go back to that, right? It should be more state of mind than style of music. Because they'll live forever that way. That's my guess. Steve Fulta finally with Transverse Lateral. And Franklin Bruno, let's talk about
him. Yeah. Trying to remember when I first met him. I can't really remember. He was, I'm sure it was at one of those Munchie shows that the Shrimper scene early on revolved on, around. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know what to say about him.
Well, was he an influence on your music? Were you an influence on his? You know, only the music connects is what I'm...
Right, yeah. I don't think we had an influence either way. I think we were both very influenced by the band Game Theory, independently.
Is that that guy who killed himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but I remember that now.
Yeah, Franklin actually wrote some of the liner notes for one of the reissues of one of their albums.
Yeah. Like, I have to say, as a young Minuteman, our friend Saccharine Trust, Black Flag, the Hooskers, Meat Puppets, they had incredible influence on us.
On everyone.
But what I'm saying is, you know them personally, and they're in bands, and you'll want to copy them, of course, because you want to respect them, but they still kind of influence you. And I was wondering if you and Franklin had the same kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we sort of... You know, didn't really meet until kind of later on when we had already developed our own styles. So,
for example, there would never been a Double Nickels on the Dime without Hooskers, because they did that ZRK.
Oh, right. And it says take that Hooskers on it.
Yeah, well, I put that there because to give them credit for the idea of making a double album. Now, but we didn't make a Husker Du record, but, you know, influence, that's what I'm saying. So it seems, okay, when I was listening to this new stuff that you've done and thinking back when Franklin was on the show a couple months ago and playing his stuff, I do hear kind of similarity.
I could see that. And like I said, I think it's more that we share influence than that we influence each other so much.
Would you say Shrimp, like SST, like I named those bands, there was no SST sound really, right?
Right, yeah.
Was there a Shrimper sound?
It was pretty diverse. But
Okay.
It tended to be like a little more sort of indie folk oriented, some of it, Mountain Goats.
Can you help me with that genre name, indie? Because it sounds like an economic program. How is it in terms of, like, musical stuff?
I don't know. I just always accepted it as, you know, the term. And it, I don't know. I mean, Minutemen, for sure, were considered indie rock. But, I have trouble defining it, really. I mean, it doesn't, it's not any particular sound. It's just...
Well, you know, the Watt from Peebo show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers. Don't worry, Steve.
Okay,
don't worry. Well, I'm gonna play Make It Past the Morning
and a wrong answer. We'll be right back.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Steve Fulton doing Make It Past the Morning. And then I played a whole bunch of stuff from Hokkaido. My buddy Dez flowed me at the scene there around Sapporo, their big town. We had Desert with Wake, Bang Lang with People, Car Thief School with Dopo, Don Carnage with Sailing, Meat Cop with 25th Century Birthday Present, Plot with No Name, Slang with The World of Lunacy, The Hatch with Stamina Jackson. So there's a sample of what's going on right now in Sapporo. And after, finally, Steve Fulton with The Small French Debacle. Yeah, how important are titles for you?
It varies. I mean, a lot of the titles don't really relate so much to the songs because I can write titles, like I have a big list of titles to use, like, and it's a lot of times it's like I finish the song and I need a title, and I just pick a title off the list. Whatever seems to kind of fit, sort of. But, other times it's like, oh, I went to the list here's this title that I really liked, and then I wrote the song to the title, and it just varies a lot.
Oh, I gotta tell you, I do like that, what you just mentioned. I always need the title first, but man, you know, I ask a lot of people about that shit, and they always tell me the title comes last. So it's trippy that you mix it up like that. I need the title first because it helps give me focus.
Right. Well, especially, yeah, if you have lyrics, I'm always looking for a focus for the lyrics. But it's a lot harder for me to write a lyric than it is to write a title.
Yeah, you know, I might not have lyrics, but, you know, the music, to me, it's all device to rally around to realize the title. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs. I came up with this title, so I come up with the word, all to realize that, being afraid of writing songs that people might think is not appropriate. And then I thought, well, Bob Dylan wrote something like that, maybe I can. So that's what it is. It's kind of like a morale booster for me.
Yeah.
The title. So I'm always curious about other songwriters. And then, you know, of course, stuff like John Coltrane, mainly instrumental music people. The title, mm-hmm. it seems, is really important. Because people key on that, right, to try to define these sounds because there's no spiel.
Right.
Yeah. So I was just curious about it. Do you keep a notebook of lyrics?
No, because lyrics is the big chore for me, so I always put that off until the very end.
Ah, so you make music to put lyrics. Okay. So do you do the thing like a little recorder or something, and you put little melodies in there for parts?
I have done that. I mean, this album was, I mean, the process was like I would just go into our little studio almost every night. And, you know, sometimes I just play some drums and play some guitar and go home. But sometimes when I was doing that, I'd come across something interesting musically, and then I was all set up to record it onto the computer immediately and then, you know, develop it.
Interesting. I'm going to ask you about that because, yeah, I always wanted to play drums. But we're at the end of the second hour, February 26, 2021. Dish White Peter, so special guest, Steve Fulda. Hold tight for hour three. February 26, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you. there'll be some music, but we'll manage to find a quiet place to talk. Bosses tend to do dumb stuff as they work, based on preset nav meshes, which define where they go on the map after the round starts. Records, too, are available, but it would be an act of charity to oneself to smash them whenever they are discovered. I would need some help with my problem. My frame rate is locked to 60 FPS. More and more I have the feeling that I'm getting over. All I can say is, never climb where anyone can see you, you're an easy target. It is not irritating to be where one is, only irritating to think one would like to be somewhere else. It should just stay a sniper. There is not enough of nothing in it. What you should notice in all the games now is that you actually have a choice in more weapons to use without limiting yourself. There are two great games for magnetic taste. One is music, all of it you're thinking about it. Game with black after exiting game. At directing the phenomenon of automatism of chance, which I mistrust as a facility which is not absolutely necessary. What do you mean by mirrors, triangles, and breaking mirrors? Googled, but couldn't find anything on it. We have the feeling we're getting nowhere, that is a buzzer, which will continue if we are irritated with whatever. But I think consistent movement is a huge difference between different levels of play. The way it does it, by the intimacy of multiplicity and emptiness.
Side. most receive less. Oh, mon dieu, sacre bleu, won't say what I think of you. Scaly eyes, boring lies, what else do you want from Montfort?
Walk from Pedro Show, start off the third hour. Steve Poulter doing Leave That Row Behind. That's for sure. Some jam I did with Crane at a party in his parents' backyard. 1987 floated to me. And I think that fucking bass line became what gets heard later. Fire Hose. Now, is Fire Hose indie? Because it was on... the records were on... well, the first... three were SST, but then the other ones were Columbia. Could you be on the world's first record company and still be indie?
I think so.
And at the time, we were part of Sony Music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a little tiny independent thing. We had Steve Fulton for that with the Pyrocosm.
Pyrocosm.
Pyrocosm. Thank you. Sorry, just slaughter your time. 3-8. From Network Glass, his door out of Baltimore. He's really fucking genius at that kind of music. Music, period. Not that kind. Those people. Fuck that. Steve Fulton with Cinder Binder?
Cinder Bindle.
Bindle. God, what? Put your glasses back on.
Yeah, sorry.
Cinder Bindle. No, Cinder Bindle. You're right. Well, of course you wrote it, you know. Drone 4, David Gerard and Riles France. He's out of Massachusetts. And finally, Steve Fulton with Mont Blanc. Yeah. Okay. There's a margarine fire, right? If you know about that tunnel, it connects France and Italy.
Horrible
thing. Look, you did all the instruments on your stuff, and we talked about you were a drummer man and Fast Eddie. But we
Falcon
didn't,
Eddie, yeah.
Falcon Eddie. Fast Eddie played in Motorhead, right? Look, how did you get on drums?
I picked up drums so I could make recordings of my own songs.
Well, I didn't ask why, because,
yeah.
Fuck, I would want to too, but how?
this was in college, and there were drum sets around, and I could just sit down and try to figure out how to do it. And, yeah, try to learn how to play when the levee breaks or Motown drum fill and then just try to keep a beat and without it falling apart because I couldn't edit at that time. So I had to be able to play a song all the way through. So it was just, keep doing it till you can do it,
So you like beat it into you. But you're saying back in college, so you actually had this idea of the one man band back then?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was just recently. Okay. You never got to realize it back then, though, right? You had to compromise and join other people's bands.
Well, I don't know. I still play in bands, too. I don't...
Yeah, of course. But that's more like parallel universes, right?
Kind of, yeah. It wasn't as clear back then as to whether, I think in my mind, it's like I'm recording these songs as a one-man band, but I'm not releasing them, and someday I'll have my own band and we'll play these songs. But like I said, later on when I tried that, I wasn't as satisfied with the results, and then eventually I just sort of went back to the one-man band thing, but like fully accepting that it is really just about the recordings and not just the sort of the prototype for something later that's going to be playing out,
Did you play drums in somebody else's band?
Falcon
Eddie.
Junket, I played drums because
I
put out another one man band thing called Speed Bumps. And, one of the guys had heard that and thought that meant I could play drums, which I wasn't that good at the time, but because it's recording, I could just do as many takes as I needed. So Junket was the first band where I played in a band as a drummer, and of course that made me a lot better as a drummer.
And how would being a person who's had all the different jobs in a band and playing gigs and stuff, how does drumming compare with the other things?
For one thing, it's less stressful in terms of like stage fright or whatever, because you're behind the drums, so you feel a little more protected, insulated than the other band members do.
Yeah. And although I don't like the idea of the drummer in the back, that's a big mistake the Minutemen made. We should have the drummer wait. George Hurley should have been. Like last 20 years, I've had my drummers downstage. I just think it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's a good idea. There was a band in San Francisco where the drummer was right up in the front with his back to the audience. We're behind him.
Well, I don't do that. I have him at a little angle so I can look at the guy right in the face. But I like that kick. You know what I like? Steve, I like that kick drum right up against my calf, that poof. You know when they say feel it? I can feel it. I want to play Paradoctyl.
Yeah.
Right? I got that right? Yeah, okay. Some pun rock, right?
Dancing in front of these drums, he's got nothing on except a flimsy pair of pants, and round his waist he's got ties and papers sort of thread with emblems, beads and other things on it, and that's all he's wearing. His body is smeared with red, and he's getting more and more excited as he jumps up and down and dances suddenly now he's standing still. His tongue is out of his mouth like the goddess, exactly the same way as the goddess Kali. And now he's standing and his legs are twitching. He seems to be in some form of ecstasy. And the drum beating gets louder and louder, if that's possible. And now, as it reaches this crescendo, the young man suddenly stops dancing, gets down onto his knees, and bows his head onto the ground in the direction of the Sanctum Sanctorum in a gesture of total submission to the goddess.
I can't wait to kill you. When I do, will I feel the same? Will I even notice that I came? Bullets in the medbay's brain. Bullets in the medbay's brain. Never when I don't. I got a sick crazy drop in deep. You're an old man, Texas son. You in Babylon underneath. You in Babylon. I'm
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lie, lie, you're telling a lie. I never know why, you don't know how to tell the truth. Truth, truth, truth. You don't know how to tell the truth. Yeah. I'm a fool, fool. I've been such a fool. I'm blowing my cool with you right now.
Know why you don't know.
Watch for Peter Show. Last music for this edition. Started off Steve Fulton with paradactyl, which is a real word, but wasn't meant to be. That's life. What's it called? The Law of Unintended Consequences. Temple of Bon Matin after that. Great drummer man, Ed Wilcox. With brother Steve. Bullet into Mesmer's Brain. Steve Fulton after that with Beta Breaker. Seven-piece rehearsal. Yeah, you were saying rehearsal. I've yet to hear somebody at the gym say, I'm going to go rehearse some hoops. That's all fucking semantics. Don't worry, Steve. Part two from Klineman. And this is Emmett Kelly, not the clown, but the musician. Lives in the ballad here. Steve Fulton with To Tell the Truth. Deep in the Woods after that. Dublin with The End of Everything. And finally, Steve Fulton with Downwinder.
Yeah.
Now all these.
That's how I say it.
What's that?
That's how I say it. I mean, it's deliberate. It's a little deliberately ambiguous. Is it downwinder or downwinder?
You know, in my first opera, I had one part I called Pedro Bound, because it means a place you're going towards, but it's also you could be chained up to it. Yeah, because words can, you can, you know, I think that's part of lyric writing. Why not use attention and ambiguity?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. But you say the words are tough for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the music comes a lot easier, and then words.
So you're.
Yeah, like I said, it's the chore. It's.
And it's you're looking for something funny, something mysterious, something that's like not so literal.
Yeah.
I share with you the exact same thing.
Yeah, although I, you know, sometimes I feel like it's a bit of a cop out. a lot of times I'm just like, I just need words to sing, and here are some words, and they don't mean anything, but at least I have some words.
Well, we were talking about Louis. What about some scat?
I remember
we were talking even earlier, my first single, Guess Who? What was his name? Uh-huh. Burton Cummins?
Yeah.
Every fucking tune, he ended with scat. Right? American Woman. Don't really want it because I don't really need it. Uh-huh. He's kind of like, every tune is an infinite chorus with him scatting over the top.
Uh-huh.
Don't give me no hand me down. Right? Or it's a new Mother Nature taking. I don't know. It's big. Maybe it's a little before. You probably know these tunes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're kind of a formula, right?
I never noticed that before.
Yeah. I didn't notice until I started writing songs. It was like, man, okay. But what is this, since this is your second one-man band record, what did you learn from this one?
I think process more than anything. This is, I mean, there were a bunch of other ones. It's like my fifth or whatever.
Oh, really? Before. Okay.
But yeah, just the go into the studio every night thing, and that really worked for me, I thought.
Put in the time.
Yeah. That 85% of success is just showing up. Idea.
Discipline conquers hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mayo Thompson said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, pitcher movements into Eastern Europe go together like pancakes and syrup. Yeah. Tom Watson, my missing man guitarist, did a lot of stuff with him. So. And I was a big Soldier Talk fan. It's been a big honor. Do you have a sixth one-man album plan?
There were even more songs that weren't on this album because they're being held for another album that's a little more of a concept album, but I don't have enough songs for that. This one stopped when COVID stopped because I didn't really feel safe going into the studio, but once we all get vaccinated, I want to pick it up again and make more albums. So.
And where can people find you on the internet?
Bandcamp is best. For my music,
yeah,
it's basically Bandcamp. The music's.
So you don't have your own website?
No, I don't.
Okay, but Bandcamp's great. I love the way they treat people in music. Yeah. When you get around to this other one and get enough songs to fill that, will you come back on the show and play it? We could talk about it.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Steve. Truly.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on, please. We got to get jabs in the arm, and we'll be back out there commingling. Bebo, February 25, 2021 edition. Watt Peter should keep you powder dry.